Things we almost never do is take an offering, but God. One of the ways to break a stronghold over your life and over a region is to give. Now, many of you know that I served as a marketplace minister for 32 years, in addition to traveling and ministry. There's a need in the body of Christ. A good friend of many of us, his name is Emilio Sebastian, fell and radically tore his quadricep and is out of commission, which means he can't go to work. He's also a marketplace and pulpit minister. For another 10 weeks. It happened 3 weeks ago. So tonight, if you feel led as a part of your worship, if you're going to make out a check, if you need an envelope and you'd like credit for your taxes, the ushers will hand you envelopes. Just any time that you want it to be an expression of your worship, make your check out to SHCF and you'll get tax credit for it. But everything that's taken tonight is going to go to an alms offering for Pastor Emilio. Because I believe that when we sow into another ministry's life, it breaks the back of the enemy off of your finances. How many of you are tired of mammon stealing from you? This is one way. One of the five ways to break mammon is to give. And this is not going to anybody's ministry. This is going to someone who has poured out their lives for us for over 30 years. So if the Lord leads you, there's baskets up front. Just as an expression of worship when he leads you, just put them in baskets. I will take the worship of your day and I will turn it into angelic warfare on your behalf. I will take those things that you have considered small and I will show myself mighty in them, says the Lord. I will take your faithfulness and I will convert it into my faithfulness, says thy God.
Hello. The Lord showed me a series of visions, and I believe it is for not only this house, but the church at large in the region. And what the Lord showed me is a block of wood, and the wood was split, not all the way, but portion of the way with an axe. And it caused pain, and it caused breaking. And I saw the Lord come and lift the handle of the axe out, and because the block of wood was alive, it mended back together. It became a footer, and I saw cement being poured as a foundation. The Lord then showed me a scene of birds in a cage, and the birds were covered with black ash, but as that foundation was laid, there was security in the Lord. There was that confidence, and these birds flew out of the cage, and the black soot that was on them flew off, and I saw the birds become white. And the Lord said, those are my people who have been hindered from walking in their giftings and ability. They've had ash over them. They haven't been able to spread their wings. They haven't been able to fly what God has given them the gifting to do. But because that foundation has been laid, they were confident to come out of that cage and fly and let that soot come off and be glorious in the giftings that the Lord gave them. Thank you for letting me.
On the way here tonight, as I neared Greece, I'm from out in Wayne County, and I started seeing this dome. And when I sat down in here, I started noticing it was covering most of the region. And what I saw under that dome was ministries with purses, and they had the purse strings drawn tight, and they were holding on to them. And I saw the Lord release a huge angel with a sword and had him stand next to the dome. And the sense I got from that was that the Lord is ready to cut the strings on those purses to allow finances to flow between ministries. The sense was almost that some of the ministries are holding on to their money saying, I can't help this ministry over here because I don't have enough for myself. But I believe God is ready to order that angel to begin to cut those strings, which is going to actually destroy that dome that has been holding things back.
Noise, don't stop the sound. Okay, now it's time to legislate. We've got revelation. Now we have to war out of that revelation. Now, our brother didn't know that there are 12 ministries that have come together to put their funds together to feed the hungry in this town. But he's right. There is a holding back. That angel has a sword, and he's waiting to cut it open. You ready to open it? You ready to see the ministry that you're a part of and your ministry join with the body of Christ in the region to meet the needs in the region, the spiritual needs in the region? The spiritual need is greater than the physical need, but some of them will only be touched when their physical need has been met by a stranger who knows Jesus. There is a dome in the town of Greece. A mile down the road that way. Actually, it's in the town of Parma. Just across the road from Greece. But there is a dome over this region that we have been warring for 7 years to cut open. And this region goes from halfway to Buffalo to halfway of Syracuse across the lakefront. And down to the interior, down to the great, to the Finger Lakes. You're all in a piece of that region. How many of you see in the Spirit? How many of you see the angel our brother saw? It is a large warrior. He rides on the intercession. It was not a coincidence that the next generation was up here worshiping, because the battle is not for my generation, and it's not for their generation. It's for the generations after them. And when we get our eyes off of me, there will be more than enough for the ministry that I am a part of, no matter where I am, because my vision has been lifted higher to Father's vision for the generations yet to be born. Are you ready for it to shift? The prophetic act that we did in giving an offering for another minister tonight began to shift. The word about the foundation is very true for this region. It is not about me, my house, or mine. It's about your sons and your daughters' sons and daughters. Are you ready to war for them? If you don't have a son or a daughter, you have a spiritual son or daughter that is waiting for a spiritual father or mother to begin to mother them and to father them so that they can overcome their fatherlessness and their motherlessness. This is about adoption into Christ. There is only one Lord and there is only one body. He only sees one generation on the earth, his sons and his daughters. Is your vision getting higher? As we begin to worship, begin to call Father, to release that angel that he's already told us is there to do the very work that Father sent that angel to do. cut open the dome. And I believe that when that angel cuts open the dome, the other angels that have been waiting for you as a minister and an heir of righteousness will cut open the purse strings that have been held back. Mammon has tried to constrict. Tonight, that constriction is being severed. You don't defeat a snake by cutting off its head. You defeat a snake by slicing open its belly. Because that's where its power lies. Do you see that sword slicing the snake that was around that bag, around that dome? That's what we're going after. It will come undone. In the name of Jesus, we cut that cord of distraction now. We cut that cord of resistance and we slice open that little viper that is holding people back from their destiny. We say to those little foxes, go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say you have no place in this garden. You have no place in this town. You have no place in this city. You have no place in this region. We say, go. We take the sword of the Spirit that has been given to us, and we turn it against that viper that has held us individually from stepping forward. And from the chin of that viper to its tail, we slice it open now. It has no authority. We place it defeated under our feet in the name of Jesus. We say you have no authority over the 30-somethings. You have no authority over the 20-somethings. You have no authority over the teens. You have no authority over the tens. And you have no authority over the newborns. And we decree you have no authority over those yet to be conceived. We decree freedom to the generations that are to be righteous in this town, in this city, and in this region, in this state, and in this nation. We sever and separate asunder the pieces of those vipers. Every generational spirit that's connected with the occult, that's connected with sorcery, that's connected with Freemasonry, we sever them by the power of the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. We say no more. We silence the whispering of the accuser. Now I want you to do a prophetic act, because Romans 16:20 says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Pick up your foot and put it down on that viper. Got another one? Put your other foot down on the other one. The God of peace is now crushing Satan under your feet. Peace is what comes when you defeat that viper.
I saw that dome as well. And after the angels came to war and the snake was destroyed, I saw them pull back and I felt the Holy Spirit come and hover. Because the snake had to go so that impregnating spirit could come.
is the Spirit hovered over Mary, and new birth and new life came. There's a holy visitation that's happening tonight as well. Heaven is coming down to earth, and new birth is happening. And I feel that it's happening in the natural and in the spiritual, that in the next 9 months, I cleared this with Al because it was so specific, we are going to see from those here tonight new ideas birthed, new revelations, new ministries, things that you've not even thought of before, because a holy visitation has come upon us tonight and impregnated us with new life. But I also feel that we're going to see natural life, that there is new life coming to those who've been waiting and those who've been praying. And I feel like that dome had to come off, and the Spirit is now hovering.
Please be seated. It's hard to transition. Prophets Michael and Gloria Cotton have been in and out of the region the last couple years, and some of you have had the opportunity to sit under their ministry. Michael and Gloria are the proud parents of 3 sons and 4 grandchildren. 7 grandchildren, I'm sorry. Four in one and 3 in the other, and the rest yet to be born. That's a grandmother for you. That's the most important thing about them. They are teaching the generations to love Jesus. Michael oversees Antioch Ministries. Gloria oversees Wellspring Ministries. Michael also oversees Grace Churches International as their apostolic leader, as a part of the apostolic team. It's 350 churches around the U.S. and I think they told me 4 continents. So they travel a little bit. And we're just going to, I told them just whatever the Lord has told them for the region or for us. And the Lord, I know the Lord has spoken to them. We tried to wear them out today. And it didn't work. The Lord energized them. So if the Lord should move any of you that have come in late to sow into Pastor Emilio Sebastian and his recovery, that's what the offering is for tonight. So if you want to break that hold of mammon off of you, everything that's being given tonight is for his recovery. You can do it if the Lord moves you during Scripture. You are at liberty to give any time the Lord tells you to give. Amen? With that, Michael?
Thank you. There were two of the seminal events of my life. The first, when I was a senior in high school, my father, who was a marvelous country lawyer in North Carolina, had a massive heart attack. This was 1962, when people didn't survive heart attacks. And he did. He was a sole practitioner. He represented everybody in town, but he did it by himself. And so he was not able to work for almost 6 months. And there was a gentleman who came up to him one day, came to the house, and Mr. Arnold, and I speak his name, Regu Arnold. He gave Dad a check made out to him with the amount blank. And just said, whatever you need, Bob, fill in the check. And Dad never had to fill it in, because what all of his lawyer friends did was come down to his office and they picked up case files and took them back and worked the cases for him free. So in reality, all the time he was laid up sick, and then they didn't have the medicine they have now, and all you could do was you laid flat on your back as still as you could. You didn't move a muscle. And your heart had to heal by itself on its own. And but all the time he was doing that, his law office went right ahead, cases being won, cases being worked, clients being helped, and all the money went to Dad. Seminal event that changes your life. Second, Gloria is at one point laid up for 5 years with an incurable heart ailment. And the doctor gave us no hope, and we had three small kids, like so. And I also was taking care of my aged, infirm mother. She was in one wing of the house. Gloria was upstairs, and I was also pastoring a growing church. And totally extended beyond my limit. One of my friends called me up. They said, "Michael, we know you're having a tough time. We're going to start paying for a cook to come in every day, clean the house, cook the meals, and take care of you and your family. And we're going to do it until Gloria is well." And I went out that day, found the cook. She was cooking by that afternoon. And it was a seminal event, though, because my friends loved me in a real way, just like Dad's friends did when he was laid up for 6 months with a heart attack. Love requires expression. You do not love in isolation or in separation. If I love my wife, I am compelled to find a way to express that. I don't love her by turning away and never giving an expression of something to her. I love her by turning to her and finding a way. And listen, Valentine's Day's coming up. But you find a way. I love you. Flowers, perfume. I buy my wife perfume. Do you know what kind of perfume your wife likes? I buy my wife L'Air du Temps by Nina Ricci. That's a fine perfume. It ain't cheap. But see, I love her and I want to find a way. I have to find a concrete, real way to express that to her. Same thing with this. Really. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. See? This is those lawyers coming down and taking Bob Cotton's cases in 1962 when he should have been dead. He really should have been dead. The reason he was not dead, God told me. He was raised in a very poor family, and his father died when he was 14 of a massive stroke, living on a farm. Incredibly poor, 13 kids. The oldest, 11, left home to make their own way because there was nothing at home for them. And Dad, when he got big enough, realized he had to take care of his mama. So what he did was he left the farm with a family fortune of $8. Five from his mother and three from the Indian who slept in the kitchen under the kitchen table. This is farm life in North Carolina in 1900. And he went off to Raleigh, North Carolina, got a job as the janitor in the North Carolina Supreme Court Library, mopping the floors. During the day, he talked a lawyer there in Raleigh, the capital city, to teach him the law. And he did what was called, he read for the law which you can't do now. Now you need a degree from college and law school to do that. But at that time, you could read for the law. And, you know, in the 1800s, there really weren't any law schools. That was a 1900s invention. I think UNC Law School was started in 1919, maybe. So you read for the law, so he convinced a lawyer to teach him, studied the law for 1 year. He had no college education. Studied the law for a year and passed the bar exam. After 1 year, no college. There's an anointing on people for business, just like there is for ministry. And my daddy, when he went into a courtroom to try a case, had an uncanny ability to get to the truth and communicate the thing to the jury. He could talk to a jury. The same way I can talk to my wife, he could talk to a jury. But you know, he did all that so he could take care of his mother, because she needed legal representation. She needed someone that would turn back home, take care of her. And he knew he needed tools. He needed a sword in his hand to take care of her. So he did. All of her life, he took care of her. And after she died, every week that he was alive, he would go to her grave, which he paid for, and put flowers on the grave. The point is, that kind of generosity, the expression of love in specific ways, opens up a door between you and God. Yes. My daddy should have died in 1962. It was no way for him to live and survive the massive coronary occlusion that he had. God gave him extra years. And right after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, God spoke to me and says, "Son, honor your father and your mother, that your days would be long in the land." So, that was a mini sermon. Those that labor among us in the word and in prayer are worthy of double honor. That's an offering sermon. Okay. I'm going to take just a few minutes. When do you want to quit? It's 8:36. No. Give me some. Who's in charge here? Yeah, I'm going ice fishing in the morning. I've never been ice fishing. I do have a bucket list. And on my bucket list is I desire to fish all waters everywhere in the world before I die. And I'm doing pretty good on my list. I fished the rivers of Iceland, and I fished Mexico, and I'll be there next week, and I'm going to go blue marlin fishing. Shamala. Won't be any ice in Mexico. So I had requested last year, I want to go ice fishing. What's the matter with you people that you do ice fishing up here, but you've never asked me to come? You know, I was just setting it up. So please be praying for me. Would you turn over to Genesis 11? I'm going to take just a few minutes. I've got a prophetic word for this area, and I just want to couch it in some scriptural language. We always look at life through the scripture. It's the context. It's the framework, the nexus by which we observe and analyze and understand everything. Genesis 11, we're going to look at the Tower of Babel for just a minute. Somebody's probably just taught on this and could do a better job. Generosity is one of the ways you release financial blessing. You don't have to analyze it. You don't even need teaching on tithing. You don't. All you need is that. Be generous. That's all you need. you figure that out, you've gone far beyond tithing. Tithing is just bad. It's a bad scripture word. I don't even think we ought to be using it. If you want to say tithing, just say tenthing, because that's real. It's just an old English word that means a tenth. Just say, well, I'm just tenthing. We're going to take up the tenth now, because the tithe is now some scriptural hokey pokey kind of word, and it's like, oh, it's some kind of religious thing. Just say, okay, we're going to take up the tenth. But I don't even need teaching on that. Just be generous and find a way to express love. Okay. Genesis 11:9. That was not in my notes. All that stuff was not in my notes. That's amazing. I used to think that if you were spiritual, you didn't prepare. To be spiritual, you just led by the Spirit wherever it went, and you just didn't prepare. And I figured out one day, God just sort of told me, Michael, that's really stupid. And now, apologies to anybody here that still's doing that, but if God will speak to you Saturday night, I had a guy tell me, as proud as he could be, that he would get his sermons driving to church on Sunday morning. This guy's a pastor and lives in Virginia somewhere. I won't say where. And he said, I write it down. I scribble it on the back of an envelope while I'm driving to church on Sunday morning. I was just sitting there going, dude. If God will speak to you at 7:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, won't he speak to you Thursday at 7 a.m.? And give you from Thursday to Sunday morning to research and tune it up and make it the best sermon you could preach? I think so. Not to say that he won't change it, but I would rather have the Holy Spirit change something I've prepared than to change something I had not prepared. And it's like the Holy Spirit's just going sort of desperate. Let me give you something. That was the second sermon I didn't have in my notes. That's why I was saying that. Okay. All right, so the Tower of Babel, they had one. This is chapter 11 in Genesis. They had one language. Everybody was using the same words. And they found a plain and settled there. And they said to one another, let's make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone. Oh, and the word about the blackbirds. Who had that? And the cage. I think I understood something more about the black or the soot on the birds. Soot is just, it's a byproduct of burning. And it's like ash. I think that soot stands for sorrow and shame. And if you've been dealing, sorrow and shame can keep you from moving on in God. Those birds got out of the cage, and as they flew, they turned white. They got the sorrow and the shame fell off. It's a major work of the Holy Spirit. If you're dealing with shame over your past, or if you're dealing with sorrow over things that have happened, and you can't get out of the regret and the sorrow for things that have happened in the past, God has a release and an answer for you tonight. And we'll pray for you in just a minute. You're going to remind me, right? Thank you. This is my lovely wife, Gloria. Would y'all say hi, Gloria? Whilst I am braving the terrors of the frozen ice, she's going to be doing a all-day ladies conference tomorrow. Is that right? Tomorrow? Saturday? Yep. The morning. Okay, in the morning. Amen. To whenever morning ends. So they start building. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Okay, man is going to make a name for himself. He's going to build things. He's going to build things. If you look around now, banks are going to build. Corporations are going to build. They want a name for themselves. They want to be branded. Everything is about branding. You realize that? And in fact, if you're a pastor now, you've got to figure out how am I, what's my church, and how's anybody going to know we're here? And you've got to figure out, who are we? What's our brand? What's our name? God, what have you given us, and what's our identity? But man is going to do this with everything, and he's going to shove himself forward in some way to give himself a name. So they build a tower with its top in the heavens, and they make a name for themselves so they wouldn't be dispersed. Okay, here's the other thing. Man, and don't ever be deceived about this, when people become of one mind, cooperate and come into unity. And I'm not talking spiritually. I'm talking unsaved heathen. Mankind can do great things. Mankind is born after the image of Adam. And Adam was a powerful, mighty being who lived almost 1,000 years. And mankind, humankind, outside of God, when they cooperate together, can do. We put a man on the moon. Now, was that a Christian effort? No. It was a national effort. We put a man on the moon. Can you believe that? We figured that out back in the 1960s when my iPhone has more computing power than the computers they used to get that thing to the moon and back. My iPhone has more computing power. And they were able to do that because John F. Kennedy stood up and said, we're going to send a man to the moon before the 1960s are over. He's long gone, but they put that man on the moon. Man can do anything he sets himself out to do. Go stand on a big dam. Hoover Dam, Fontana Dam, down in Tennessee Valley Authority, that was the first dam they built, so huge. You stand on it, or go down to the power generating plant, and it gives you the willies. It's so big, and it's just humming. It's just humming. It's just thrumming down there, right? Mankind can build big things. He can do whatever he wants to do when he comes together in unity. So God comes along and God says, I can't let that happen. God comes down and he says, behold, they are one people. They all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Listen to you. Any of y'all keep up with the literature being published and the books that people are reading? The number of books coming out now on leadership, how to lead, the way you lead, leading for excellence, leading for this, leading for that. You can go to any business school now, and the courses on how to lead, how to bring your team into unity, how to bring through your team in unity, how to bring the department into unity, how to lead your corporation, and how to make a lot of money. That's what the topic is now. You know what man's doing? Man is striving to come back to where they were at Babel. They're doing everything they can. So now we got video conferencing. We just got the notice that now Skype is getting ready to set up a multiple video conference system. So Al and me and my friend Ben in Holland and somebody else in Germany and somebody else in Venezuela could all be on the same Skype conference talking for free. Man is striving with every bit of energy and power we have to bring things back to where we were at the Tower of Babel. And it should make you nervous. So God says, let's confuse this thing. Let's go down and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth. And they left off building the city. They left off building the city because they started fighting each other. And since then, mankind has been dispersed across the earth. One race now becomes suspicious of the other. One language suspicious of the other. One culture suspicious of the other. And that suspicion, that terror, that jealousy, covetousness, all of that works to separate mankind around the earth. You with me? All right, now we'll go to Acts 2. Now God said, let's confuse their language. Look at Acts 2, 6. And at this sound, I'm reading the ESV, and at this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. So at Pentecost, God sets this thing up where in Jerusalem there are visitors from every known country in the world there for the big celebration of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit falls on this group of people, right? They begin, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak in other tongues. And so there are all these different nations representing the dispersed nations from the Tower of Babel that had been brought together, not in human power, but by the Spirit of God. They began speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Language, all of a sudden, no longer is the dividing issue. Under the Holy Spirit. Now, God has taught mankind a lesson. I will not let you take for yourself and use the power of Adam to make your name above my name. I'll not let you do it. Remember, Adam is a powerful being. That's where psychics draw their power. If you think it's just about the devil, you're wrong. There is a human power that, in my opinion, outranks what the devil has because it's more deadly and pernicious. I tell you what, put any five of us together in a room. Give us a project of any kind and give us enough funding and time and we'll make it happen. God brings them back under the influence of the Holy Spirit and instead of confusion, brings a unity. So starting with Pentecost, the Tower of Babel, and the dispersion and separation of mankind encounters a reversal. And we are now in an age when God is unifying the world in the church. It will not happen outside of the church. And by the church, I don't mean an official meeting. But listen, whenever any two of us are gathered together, church is in our midst. We constitute the church. Paul ends up three times in saying to the Corinthians, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You being plural. Y'all is the proper translation of that now. Y'all are the temple of the Holy Spirit, plural, meaning whenever the temple is in our midst, Jesus is in our midst, the church is in our midst, and we are moving by the Spirit, and we come into a spirit unity which will never be achieved by mankind in his flesh because God will always frustrate Babel. So, the tide it's just like the tide went out. Listen, the smart thing about Christianity is all you got to do is find out what God's doing and go do it. You don't have to devise a new strategy. You just find out whatever he's doing, then cooperate with him, and you know you're moving with the tide. Or as they say down in North Carolina, the toid. You're moving with the toid. And the tide flowed out, but now it's changed. It changed direction at Pentecost, and it is flowing toward unity. So whatever I do, I have to cooperate with God in unity, in understanding language. That's why things like this are so important. I'm cooperating, especially if I'm from a different church, a different ministry. I'm just cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Whoosh. Just put some money in the basket. Whoosh. I feel myself walking with the tide. So here's what God says to me about what he's doing here in this region. That he is bringing an increased unity, and the tide here is going to flow toward unity. But God always deals in specifics. So I do not want to give you a general prophecy. I don't like general prophecies. If I'm going to prophesy financial blessing over a business, I want to prophesy a specific amount over the business. Not, oh, God's going to bless you. No, brother, God's going to triple your gross next 18 months. One has power and one doesn't. There are going to be ministries and churches are going to merge in this region. I'm laughing at that all afternoon because I don't believe in mergers. They're hard to do. Takes extreme honesty to have a merger work. If you want some information on that, if you're going to merge, call me up and I'll send you some research I've done on how to merge churches and organizations. It would actually work in a business school, but I set it up for churches. It's hard to merge, but businesses and churches are going to merge in this region. That's one. That's going to be very difficult because some people, when you merge, have to give up their place of authority or importance because you don't need two leaders. You've just wasted a leader when you have two leaders. If you've got two worship leaders and you only need one, you've just wasted a worship leader. And some people have to give up their place in the midst of a merger. Sorry to say businesses. Well, you're going to see businesses merge too, but we're just talking about the church. So there are going to be mergers. I think people in this room, some people in this room will have to give up their place in order to see the merger work. Two, there are going to be some divine realignments in this region. Some people that have been in one ministry are going to be drawn by the Holy Spirit to go to another ministry. And the thing you can't do is use the label disloyal. You chill the Holy Spirit process with that term. I know that's tough to hear at times because, you know, when change happens, there are two ways to approach change. Either you embrace it, open yourself and embrace it and look for the change and get curious about where the cloud is moving to. Or you make your organization or ministry or church into Fort Apache. One or the other. And if it's Fort Apache, you know what that means? And I've seen this so many times. They're doing this. They're doing this. That brother's disloyal. They're doing this. We just need to hunker down and we need to be praying together and we're going to have some more prayer meetings and just going to put up the shield and the prayer of faith and it's going to save us from them. And all that's happened really is that the Holy Spirit has put a desire in this guy to be there. And if we label people with disloyalty, which no true Christian wants to be disloyal or out of order, one of the tests of whether you're really saved. If you're really saved, you can't stand the thought. It just grates way down deep inside that I'm somehow out of order or I'm rebellious. But there are going to be some divine realignments in the region. And you've got to be able to flow with that because it's going to happen. Third, there are going to be some new churches starting in the region. People are going to say, we don't need any more churches. Let me tell you something. The Starbucks guy figured this out. You know that, don't you? Have you wondered why there are so many Starbucks? They started out with the notion that, okay, we'll put a Starbucks here and we'll draw a radius around it and we won't franchise or put any more Starbucks stores within X number of miles of this store because we don't want one store poaching on the other guy's customers. Makes sense, doesn't it? They followed that theory until they had sort of covered the country, and then the leaders at Starbucks said, listen, let's just try one across the street. So they built a Starbucks back in Seattle, a catty corner across the street from another Starbucks store. Guess what happened? The business traffic, the traffic at both stores increased. One person drinking coffee in one Starbucks seems to create two more people that want to come. Because you ride by and you see cars there, they're drinking coffee at Starbucks. There's a Starbucks, let's go. And first thing you know, the business there increases business over here. God's going to have more churches planted in the region. And don't go, we don't need another church. What are they doing? Brother, I don't understand it, but I know I've been here 25 years, but I just feel like I can't help it. I just feel like I'm supposed to go to that new church. Brother, they're meeting in a back of a school. What are you doing? Well, I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm just sniffing something and I need to go. And see, that is the Holy Spirit. Because the way the kingdom advances, basically the basic building block for advancing the kingdom in any community is to plant a church. Plant and grow a healthy church. I'm not talking about unhealthy churches. Really. Really. You know I'm not. I'm talking about healthy churches. The way you advance the kingdom is plant and grow healthy churches. And churches are going to be planted and grow in this region. And there's, was that three? Four. There are some large churches that grew because of apostolic anointing. An apostolic gift will always gather people. I have a friend who, he can't run a church to save his life. But every time he stops in a place, people start gathering, and he can start a church just like that. It's an amazing thing. It took him 20 years to figure out he couldn't run one. He sort of runs them into the ground, but he can start them. And all he ever needed was to realize he needed to be part of a team, that it was not all his gifting. But he can go to that Starbucks and sit there and drink coffee in one morning and have a cell group or a prayer group started. Apostolic call. So, but some ministries or churches that have grown large are going to begin to decrease because the tending to the garden was not as good as the planting of the garden. We used to, after we got married, I wanted to do some gardening after I got over rebellion to Bob Cotton, to my daddy, and realized I wanted to garden too. And so we would get the seed catalog from Park Seed Company down in Greenwood, South Carolina. you know, get your seed from a local company, because then you get seed that's used to your, that grows good in your region. We'd order from Park Seed Company, geniuses down in Greenwood, South Carolina, and get the best tomato seed in the world. I'd make the bed already, and I'd plant the tomato seed, then leave them alone. And you know, they just wouldn't grow. And it was a year before I figured out it's not good enough to have a good seed or have a good start. You got to tend that thing. And there's some ministries, and I'm not talking from any knowledge, okay? So I'm the outsider who don't know nothing. But there are some ministries that are going to decrease in size because they're not being tended as well as they were started. And next, I suppose this is five. There are going to be some churches that start that are going to quickly become like mega church in size, because there's going to be a new kind of apostolic anointing, which not only plants but also tends, and tends the garden and shepherds the garden almost in an obsessive way, so that it grows and bears fruit. And then last, I see that God's going to bring a medical anointing to the region. There's something about medicine and research. God's going to bring researchers and medicine here in an astonishing way. I think there are grants, and I don't know, just something's going to happen, and discoveries in the medical field are going to come out of this area. And are going to influence the entire world. And you're going to see people coming here to be treated for things. Actually, I see some Saudi Arabians getting off the plane in Rochester to be treated for illnesses. So that's going to come. Along with that, God is going to send out from here, from this region, medical missionaries who will be flung out across the world out of here. And God is going to send great reports back to you of things that happened overseas because of medical missionaries being sent out. I believe there are there are young people that are going to receive a vision for this and go through the full training, just so they can be sent out as medical missionaries. And last, I've debated all day about whether I should say this, because what God said to me was medical missionaries and martyrs. We are now at the place where you cannot even send a team on a short-term mission to build a church in the backside of Guatemala without understanding that someone might not come back. We can never be naive again. We are seeing close call after close call. We've had a close call in Colombia. And we've seen close call after close call. And so I need to say to you prophetically that the day will come when you will send someone out who will be martyred. And I know that's sobering, but the truth is, the kingdom of God is life and death. It is not a game. It is not entertainment. And every time we go on a mission anywhere, we always must go with the understanding, hey, if it's important, I might lose my life, is this thing important enough for me to do that? If it isn't, don't get on the plane. So that last one, you guys really need to pray over. Get it way down deep in your heart. I saw a man one time who sent two of his friends off to Africa, and they were slaughtered during a rebellion. And he never really got over it. And I resolved then that was not going to happen again. Amen. I hope that's not too forward or blunt.
Have one more to add to your list that the Lord's been speaking to me since he started speaking to me during worship. Michael and I have, since 1993, have traveled and ministered in Iceland. And in Iceland, they're known for their sheep, both the wool that they knit into sweaters and wonderful lamb that you eat. But they don't have shepherds in Iceland. The sheep are all free range. They just wander wherever they want to, and woe be to you if you run over one of those little sheep. It's not on the sheep to stay out of your way. It's on you to stay out of their way. But those sheep, because there's no shepherd, they get into all kinds of fixes. And they will climb up places they shouldn't be. And if they can't get to them, then they shoot them. We've seen them when the helicopters that come around, and they just, because the sheep are going to fall, so it's kinder to shoot them than it is to let them stay there and freeze and fall and all that kind of thing. It's given, as I was in worship tonight, I kept hearing the phrase, like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord reminded me of those Icelandic sheep. And here's what he wanted me to say to you. Let me open your eyes to see around you sheep, people wandering like sheep without a shepherd, afraid and lost and not knowing how to be safe. The Lord says, let me touch your heart with what touches mine. I tell you that there are many in this place who are called by my name but have not heard it yet. Let me speak the call of my spirit through your voice, says the Lord, and say to them, the door to my kingdom is open. Come in and be safe. The Lord says, the Holy Spirit is in this place, and he is wooing through you. Receive it if you will. If you are hindered by shame, says the Lord, the best way to get rid of your shame is to let me woo others through you. When you see that I can use you, and when you see the fruit for my kingdom won through your voice, your shame will fall away. So the Lord says, let me open your eyes to see the people around you who are wandering like sheep without a shepherd. For every one of you, says the Lord, I anoint and I call to be my shepherds.
Thanks. This young man right here. You guys married?
Yeah.
Hey. What's your name?
Jamie.
Hey, Jamie. Have I met you before? I don't think so. Jamie and Sherry. Jamie and Sherry sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. God shows me that there's that your home is a healthy place, and it has been a place for healing. But brother, I see that you're a problem solver, and that you're going to solve problems for a lot of people. You're a puzzler. You have an ability to look at what appears to be a random set of data. Or a random thing, but you very quickly discern the patterns, and you see the pattern, and you do the same thing with Scripture. You look at random problems in people, and you see it, and but God overlays a solution set out of the scripture, and you just all of a sudden you see, well, that's happening because of this, that's happening because of this, and so if they did that, it would affect, and God's made you into a problem solver for people, and you're going to spend your life solving problems, and it's not like a hospital. It's more like a, I don't know, like an answer clinic or something. That God's going to do with your home. There's a teaching gift, but I suppose I'm describing a wisdom gift, a spirit of wisdom. That's what I'm describing. It's a gift of wisdom to be able to discern and know what to do. So there's a teaching gift, but the teaching gift is not it will be used by you to express the gift of wisdom. So there's more than teaching involved. And if all you do is limit yourself or try to put the teaching box on you, it's not going to work. And sister, there's a prophetic gift in you. There's a discernment in you, an ability to sniff things out, and you have a quick sniffer. It's like, you know, people can walk in the room and some people are toxic. And you go, ooh. What is that? And you're feeling like, oh, I've been being judgmental here, and I just got a bad attitude. Everybody thinks that's a great guy, but I've got this bad attitude. But the truth is, that's a gift of discernment working in you. You guys make a great couple, because a lot of times the teacher kind of a person can be naive in terms of understanding how people sometimes have the wrong motivations. And the two of you make a powerful couple. And your home's a place of expansion. I see the kingdom expanding through the two of you. Brother, there's also just something about marketplace or your ability to get indoors, doors opening for you. I see doors opening. Niches, or I don't know, projects, just doors opening, and you're being able to get things done. You're able to pick things up and carry projects forward. So it's not just about analysis for you. There's an executive side which really enjoys getting through something and accomplishing a goal and seeing all the pieces come together. What's the movie? Isn't it great when I love it when a plan comes together? Who's the guy? A-team. I love it when a plan comes together. There's that kind of A-team thing, you lighten up the cigar, and I love it when a plan comes together. That's there too, but that's a, you know, God, the world needs and the kingdom needs people that can actually get things done, and God's going to use you there. At some point, I see you guys in Hawaii. I have no idea why, but I see you on the shore. Yes, give me that word, God.
Especially in February.
I see you guys on the shore in Hawaii getting rest. So there's going to be a critical time where you're going to feel really pressed, just really under it. And the thought's going to go through Hawaii. And just remember the word, because it's like a divine yes now for that. I do suspect, however, there's more involved in the Hawaii thing than just a vacation. I see open doors actually for you there. Huh. Listen, God's going to put you there in the middle of a move of God that'll come from the West through Hawaii to the United States, from Hawaii to Chicago. And God's going to put you there in the middle of a move of God and open doors. One of the things God's put in you, brother, is the ability to recognize an open door. There's this thing that I'm going to wait till my ship comes in that you don't do. You're more of, let's do what we're supposed to do tomorrow, and the big ship will take care of itself down the road. So I see you able to recognize a move of God or an open door, something significant. And God will have you guys there at the right time. So don't strive over that. That's one of those tricky things. You don't strive over it. Just sort of, okay, it's going to happen. And one day somebody's going to give us tickets, or somebody's going to say, hey, you need to come out here for this conference. And you take your wife and you just go out for the conference. And somebody pays for it, but while you're there, something's going to happen. Does that make sense? Yes. Was that okay?
The lady that gave the prophecy, where is she? Yeah, got a word for you. The Lord has made you to carry a lot of weight in the kingdom, a lot of responsibility. You do have a strong prophetic gift, and it's like a foundational gift, because there's also a teaching gift, but you tend to teach prophetically. God tells you what's needed. You study and do the research, and then you speak it. And when you speak it, you hear things come out that you didn't plan to say, but God just takes advantage of your obedience and speaks through you prophetically so that your teaching is very prophetic. The same thing with the needs, of even physical needs of people. God is able to speak to you prophetically. And the Lord showed me that in the next season, you're going to have a particularly strong anointing to teach about and impart spiritual gifts. So don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. He'll draw people alongside of you that you wouldn't have picked, and you wouldn't have thought, if you'd reasoned it out, that they would be open to that. But when you feel that nudge from the Holy Spirit, you're going to see an extraordinary period of a fruitfulness in that area. And it won't be always the traditional kind of teaching. You can do strictly scriptural. You know that since you know the word, you're very proficient in the scripture, and you love the word. You like to dig in it. You like to study. You like to prepare all that. But you can do line upon line and precept upon precept. But God's going to give you some out of the box ways to teach some of the people He draws up beside you from that are not from your stream. But he'll give you the words that will impart the revelation and impart the gift. It's going to be like they spiritually instinctively know you're telling the truth, and they say, yeah, I want it. So Lord, do it. Give her that gift, and we ask you, Lord, to let that season start right now. Lord, we ask you to raise up people around her, draw them to her, Lord, to receive from her your word about spiritual gifts. In the name of Jesus.
Got somebody else?
Not yet.
Sure? All right, won't you look? We're going to quit in just a minute. Okay, 9:30 is a good time to quit. Okay. Al nodded. I want to go back just 1 second to Pentecost, unity. Unity will be experienced in Pentecost in the move of the Holy Spirit. It is the move of the Holy Spirit that unifies, not theology. We maintain the unity of the Spirit. We maintain something that's already been given to us. In the last year, I have been asked independently by different pastors 9 different times to minister on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. 9 separate incidents with 9 totally unrelated pastors asking for the same ministry. In those meetings, I have seen more people saved and receive Christ than in the entire rest of the year. Okay, ministering on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but people are getting saved in the process. Unity will not be experienced outside of a move of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if we ignore Pentecost or the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Jesus' expression, if we ignore that or think we can go beyond it, or we can leave, experience it and then leave it behind and then just become hard-working evangelicals, it will not work.
Amen. Amen. Yep. Preach it.
Salvation comes when the Holy Spirit is released. He always talks about Jesus. He always reveals him. And in every single one of those meetings, people got saved. More people saved in 9 Sundays than in all the other Sundays I preached last year. And it's the Holy Spirit just going, Michael, I'm telling you, don't. You can't ever go beyond the baptism of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. That's where I bring unity. Unity comes when people get saved. Amen? Okay, we're going to finish unless Gloria has another word. You don't? Well, then the Holy Spirit must be finished. Okay. All right. Yes. Thank you. If this thing about the blackbirds, if you feel like you've been, that they've been sooted over, covered over with shame or regret. Regret, I can't believe that happened to me. If that's in your mind, I can't believe that happened to me. I can't believe I was raped when I was 12. I can't believe we had to file bankruptcy. I can't believe this has happened. I can't believe that happened. And I can't get over it. Or if you're dealing with shame, if you feel like if people knew what had really happened to me, I can't talk about this. I've never talked about that. I've never talked about what I did there or what happened to me there or how I got exposed or how I got manipulated or whatever. I just can't talk to anybody about it. That's shame. And God wants to set you free. I believe, the interpretation of the blackbirds. He wants us free from shame and regret. Regret stops you from going forward in God. Shame does the same thing. They will freeze you dead in your tracks. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. So if that's you, why don't you come up and we're going to pray for you. I'm not going to expose you or ask you to talk about anything. But I want you to come up so we can pray for you, because I know there are people here that word was specifically for. So come on up. There's this movie called The Edge. The movie's about 25 years old, about a group of people that are on a tour in Alaska, being flown around by a guy, plane crashes, and the head guy, who's played by Anthony Hopkins, is reading this little book on survival that somebody gave him. And the book says the reason most people die in a wilderness accident like that is because of regret. They can't get over the fact it happened to them. So they can deal with the emergency itself. They're continually consumed with regret. I can't believe this has happened to me. I can't believe I'm here. That freezes us from moving forward.
I want you to receive what I'm going to say in the spirit in which it's given, and let this. You are not too hard for God. Whatever you're feeling shame over is not too tough, is not too ugly for the blood of Jesus to cleanse. His blood cleanses the deepest, darkest, ugliest thing. And it's the enemy of the Holy Spirit who is keeping you locked in shame and regret, because you're not too hard for God. Father, I ask you, Lord, to give grace to each one who's come forward to open their hearts to you, not to me, not to anybody else, but to you. Lord, the place where that's feeding shame, pouring out shame into our thoughts, into our feelings, the place in us that makes us feel constantly full of regret and frozen by it. We open that place up to you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that right now you would come and touch that place with the drop of your precious blood. That you would heal us, Lord. Lord, we can't fix ourselves. You alone have the power to save us. You alone have the power to change us. So we give you this place, Lord. We open it up to you. We don't withdraw. We open it up to you. We ask you, Lord, to come and heal us, Lord. Lift the burden of shame. Lord, I ask you to even let these precious ones that belong to you feel lighter. Feel the lightness come as you come by your Spirit and lift this weight of shame and regret off of our shoulders. Take it on yourself, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You said you came to do that, Lord. So we release it. We quit holding on to it. And we let you take it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's thank the Lord for this gift. Ladies, if you have time tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock over at Jubilee. I think I got the time right. I'm getting a nod back there from one of the coordinators. 9 o'clock at Jubilee. The Holy Spirit is already hovering. Get ready. You're going to birth something in 9 months. Take that word and ask Holy Spirit how He's going to work it through you. I love you all. Go take your territory for Christ. Amen.